has been to kind of update you on what's happening in Alabama and in the ministry, things that we're doing. And when we left Florida 2.5 years ago, we knew that we needed fellowship, because we really didn't have a lot of fellowship, and a lot of the ministry stuff we'd been doing had dried up. And we knew the Lord was leading us out, and when he led us to Alabama, we couldn't have been more surprised. But he put us next to Robin, who's been the conduit for much ministry. But the biggest thing in the last year really has been at Celebration Worship Center in the little bitty town of Crossville, Alabama. It doesn't have a city even. But as this has matured, you're going to tell about Bible school, I'm assuming. Bruce has taught Bible school since last October. The congregation asked him to start a Bible school, so he's the dean and the head teacher of it. And this church in particular raises people up to do ministry. There are two recovery groups for drug addiction. We all know that the drug addiction is rampant in our culture right now. Well, these young people, they're probably 30 or something, have come out of cocaine and all sorts of drug addiction, are now, just months or a few years even after coming out of it, going after those to pull them out of those places. And it is an exciting ministry we just simply show up and love on these people. And if you know Bruce's on testimony, you know that he can understand it thoroughly. And it's such an exciting thing to see these people. And there's nothing better than to see new believers who have come out of the pits of hell, literally, where the devil's had his foot on their neck. And now they know freedom. And I mean, they went from absolutely nothing. They confess having robbed from their own parents and, you know, just done the most hideous things. They've spent time in jail or prison, men and women. And it's so exciting to be around them. We love on these people. I mean, we absolutely love them. Many of them call us mom and dad. And we get invited to their kids' birthday parties. And it's just an amazing ministry. Some of them are going into the jails, and we've been a part of that. They feed once a month. I mean, there's like 72 cents a day that these people who are in jail get to eat. 72 cents a day. You know what they can eat? You know, maybe rice and beans and, you know, potatoes. So when we come in and bring a full meal, I mean a full meal, they are so blessed. And many of them then come back and will come into the, well, we got people going in every week to work with them. Anyway, so they come to know Jesus while they're in prison. And see, many times we're praying that they'll get caught and be put in prison, the brothers and sisters and family members, because then they come to know the Lord and they can get set free. There's ministries everywhere that Scripture says to go, you know. And all of there's a lot of people dying, some of them from an overdose, some of it's just from life events. And so the ministry and the funerals and all of the things that are going on. Yeah, it's a little town, but it's alive and it's vibrant. There's one other thing that, besides all of the love that we have, and Heidi and Dave have been in the congregation, and they led worship there, and they absolutely love them. They want them to come again. But and you would be loved. You go to Alabama, I'll tell you what. They say to us, use family now. Quote. And they have a way of loving that is we are just overwhelmed by. We're taught by it. But one of the things just the Lord laid on my heart this morning, and I want you to think about it. Okay, I could list for you all of the physical ailments that we are going through. It's ages almost 65 and 71 here, 72 soon. I could list for you all of the disappointments of our lives and how our kids, some of them have rejected us, walked away from us. I could list for you the financial problems or the struggles. I could list for you, okay, put your own I'm upset about, I can't, I'm focusing on into that line, okay? Take yours and put it right there. Or I could tell you about what the Lord is doing in us and through us. And what does the Lord have for us? But he says, take upon myself, so we're to put our burdens on him and let him come in and be all we focus on. And that is what we've done. Oh, you might say, oh, yeah, your life, come on, I'm just not talking about that stuff, because we are so blessed. He has taken care of us. He's taken care of it, and he will take care of it. So I'll cast all my burdens on him, and I'll glorify the Lord. And I choose to do that. It's a sacrifice of praise in itself that I choose to do. So I encourage you not to take up those things again. And when the devil wants to remind you and make it feel like a weight is coming on your head, you cast it off. Because it was in India when we were there in the last few times. We were there 3 times, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, and 6 years ago. We saw idolatry in India. And then we came back home, and I started becoming aware of the idolatry in this nation. And what I'm speaking about is that weight that we feel on our head. We turn our eyes to it rather than to the Lord. It is idolatry that we consider those things that I just listed rather than keeping our eyes on the Lord so that we can walk as Peter did on the water. We walk above these things, above the cares of the world. So you ask me how I am, I'm blessed. And all of the rest is just details, pretty boring stuff. Yeah, I have to go to the cardiologist. Yeah, I have to do this and that. And oh, so what? Because I'm blessed. I'm walking with him. I encourage you to do the same. I love y'all. Love y'all.
Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver, the other gold. We're happy to be among our golden old friends. Even though we have new friends and family in Alabama. But we love you all, and we look forward to coming whenever we can. Father, thank you for placing your treasure in this earthen vessel. May your spirit direct my path this morning, in Yeshua's name, amen. So let me ask you what seems like a very silly question. What do Eskimos, African Impala antelope, and a Cherokee Indian have in common? It's a trick question. They're all going to be mentioned in my message this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in verse 8. Now, you know, everyone can testify that the minute they became a born-again believer in Yeshua, the Messiah, everything in their life was perfect from then on, right? But sometimes people, like even in my family, expected that if my conversion was real, I should be perfect from that point on. But that's because they've never read the Bible. But in this verse, it says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet as Jane said, we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And the reason is because we're carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua can manifest itself in our mortal bodies. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We have to develop godly habits if we're going to express what God's grace has done in us. It's not a question of being saved from hell, but of being saved so that the life of Yeshua can manifest in us. And if it's adversity that makes us exhibit his life in us, then we should welcome and be grateful for that adversity. If it's the only thing, if the only thing that will enable me to enjoy adversity is a cute sense of eagerness to follow and obey Yeshua's guidance in my life, then that's what I have to do. I have to say to the Lord, I'm delighted to obey you in this. And instantly, the the Son of God comes in and manifests in me so that I can then glorify him. Because he has to have the glory. That's why we have a treasure in earthen vessels. And when it says that the life of Yeshua is going to manifest in us, what that life is his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to bring you life and abundant life and to guide you into all truth so you can understand spiritually all the things that have been freely given to you by God. And when you understand those things through the Spirit of God in your spirit, that's when the life of Yeshua begins to manifest in your mortal body and you start to do the things that Yeshua did and be Yeshua for people that you come in contact with. If you keep yourself in the proper condition to allow the life of God to rule and reign and manifest in you, then you're going to bear fruit for his kingdom. And people will see Yeshua and not you. Keep your soul properly conditioned to manifest the life of the Son of God, no matter what your circumstances are. Remember that Chuck Swindoll said, I'm convinced that life is only 10% circumstance and 90% attitude. And we have a choice of what attitude we're going to put on every day. God never promised to change our circumstances, but he promised to change us in our circumstances and to be with us through the trials of life so that when we come out on the other side, we're glorifying and thanking him. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise, not with complaining and whining about stuff. Look what happened to the sons of Korah when they complained, as our Bible study showed this morning. And when we say, Lord, we worship toward your holy temple in awe of you, we're not turning to some direction so we're facing a temple that doesn't exist in Jerusalem anymore, because the temple of God is our body. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? So, there was a group of Texans when a big oil field was discovered in Alaska. And they went up to work in the oil field, and the other people working in the oil field were Eskimos. And the weather was brutally cold, and the Texans could only work for an hour or two before they had to go in and warm up and get out of the cold. But the Eskimos could work in the cold all day long, from morning till night. They never stopped working, and they got 10 times as much done in a day as these Texas oil workers did. And they actually did a study, a scientific study, and they found out that there was no physiological difference between the Texans and the Eskimos. The only difference was that the Eskimos believed they could work in the cold weather and be productive, and the Texans focused on the cold instead of on getting the job done. What do we focus on? Are we focusing on our circumstances, or are we focusing on the finished work of Messiah and what his Holy Spirit has shown us, all the things that have been freely given to us by God? It's like a man who has millions of dollars in his bank account and it's secured by insurance, and yet he lives as if he's a pauper without any things, without any lifestyle that would reflect riches in his life. Christians, sometimes messianic believers, are like that. They have the riches and glory of God that they can call on, and yet they live like paupers as if they don't have anything. We have to glorify in what God has given us, I believe. I think it's really crucial to have a proper attitude toward God, because God looks at your heart, not at your circumstances. He looks at what you do with what you're given, and that's what we're going to be judged on. It's not what you're given, it's what you do with what you're given. Romans chapter 6. Starting in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Messiah Yeshua were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That means all the things that used to separate us from God have been done away with, so now we can be reconciled back to the Father through our identification with the death and resurrection of Yeshua. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Messiah, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you should obey it, but yield or present your bodies not as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And that's a way that we can start to have the life of Yeshua manifest in our mortal body. And the key words in these verses are to know what Jesus the Lord has done, to reckon that we're in agreement, to reckon that we have done the same thing through him that he did, and then to present ourselves as sacrifices unto the Lord and our members as to God as righteousness instead of our members to sin as unrighteousness. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And it doesn't say that presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice is special or out of the ordinary or above and beyond the call of duty. It says it's our reasonable service. In Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, Yeshua said this about faith and duty. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not, Yeshua said. So likewise, you then, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done what it was our duty to do. Sometimes we confuse a show of great faith to be only doing what is our reasonable service or our duty to the Lord. And we don't do anything out of the ordinary. The Lord said that he will not do what we are able to do, but when our ability stops, that's when his supernatural ability begins. Now I'm going to mention the African impala antelope. Did you know that they're capable of leaping 10 to 20 feet in the air and 30 feet like a broad jump in one leap. And yet, they're able to be kept in a zoo with a 3-foot-high wall. Why is that? It's because the impala will never leap unless they can see where their feet are going to land. And I'm sorry to say this, but in our experience traveling around the country and around the world, a lot of believers are like impala. They'll only obey if they can see the outcome in advance. They're not taking real leaps of faith where they're trusting God for their landing no matter what. And I'm not wanting to brag about Jane and me. We're just being obedient to the Lord like anybody else. But when we were told, leave your families and your congregation and everything that you have in 2013 and move to Florida, we didn't really want to believe that it was the Lord at first, that we were giving up so much, all the stuff, everything. And yet when we were visiting in Florida, Doug Stanton and his wife happened to be at a church in Winter Haven the same night that we were there with nothing scheduled, so we went to their meeting. And after Doug had prayed for all the other people in the church, he came over and said, could I pray for you now? And he said, thus saith the Lord, the things that you've done in your ministry in Minnesota and all the things you've accomplished with the Lord, they were all really good, really mountaintop things. But if you want to go higher, if you want to go further with the Lord, you have to go to the edge of the cliff and leap off in faith. And we took that as confirmation that what we were feeling about leaving everything here behind and moving to Florida was God's will for us, but it was a leap of faith, and we didn't know where we would land. We certainly never imagined that 2.5 years later we'd land in Alabama. And yet, Lord has brought us a spiritual family in Alabama that's unbelievably wonderful and blessing us daily. And he asked me to start a Bible school there that I never intended on doing, and the fruit of the Bible school is really changing people's lives, and it's very rewarding. I can't believe how much I'm learning when I study what I'm going to teach. And what I'm saying to you is, you might be asked sometime by God to take a leap of faith. Don't be like an impala worrying where you're going to land or not being willing to jump at all, but be willing to jump and trust God for the landing, because he's faithful. He will never let you down. He said in his word, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you trust in me, I'll direct your path. And yet, we find it so difficult sometimes to do that. So, in 2 Corinthians 9:8, I'm going to turn there. Don't want to trust myself to quote it perfectly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to leave you without what you need to complete the task he calls you to do. He's going to make sure you have an abundance for every good work. God's abundance is better than man's abundance. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And one evening, an old Cherokee Indian told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside every person. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Messiahs have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let's feed the good wolf. So, Eskimos, have a good attitude. Get the job done regardless of the circumstances. Impalas, be willing to take a leap of faith without knowing where you're going to land and trust God. And the Cherokee Indian, feed the good wolf, not the bad wolf. Don't let the lust of the flesh overcome your ability to walk in the Spirit. So if you're going to have the life of Yeshua manifest in your mortal body, you have to have a positive attitude. You have to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua through baptism. You have to present yourself a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. You have to understand duty versus faith and be willing to take a leap of faith and not confuse simply obeying dutifully as acts of faith. And you need to feed the good wolf and walk in the Spirit at all times if possible. Lord, I pray that we will all have the grace that comes from your Holy Spirit and from the love that you have for us to allow the life of Yeshua to manifest in our mortal bodies, that we may do the things that Yeshua did and even greater things, because that's your promise. And we believe your word. We trust in you, Lord. And we give you all honor, glory, and praise in Yeshua's name. Amen.